looked like the system was developed 24 years ago. The problem you mentioned about communicating and disempowering the health zone, it looks like technology is now in favor of the zone being more independent, right? That's how I understood it.
I wouldn't say that they're not in favor of it being more independent. It's just a natural natural tendency of better communication tends to centralize the health system more.
Now, another question is, okay, is the health zone communicating among themselves, maybe to exchange expertise or to get ideas? Because there is 500 of them, if 500 of them become centralized, that's a lot of savings.
Yeah.
There's a way you can, would that take opportunity to have a, how is it?
There hasn't been enough of that. During the time of Steiner, we would develop clusters of health zones in which certain health zones, like the Vanga health zone, which is considered one of the better ones, would coach the health zones that surround it. I don't think that concept is being quite as much pursued today. I would say that with the new decentralization to create 26 provinces instead of 11 provinces, now that the provinces are smaller, there will be more opportunity for communication of health zones within each of those provinces. So more can and should be done along those lines.
Now, you are funding for so many sources. How do you delegate this money, and how do you know that there will be more funding? How do you communicate that money? How money should be? Which one receive more funding maybe because of the need? How do they, there is always less resources than the need. How do you manage that money? You say they are very resilient. During the war, they will keep working. Now that they have more money, are they getting greedy, or are they expecting more? How do you make sure they get?
I think that depends on the kind of project. The kind of project that Sandra is now running with the World Bank, or the Global Fund, malaria projects. There is a package of assistance that is estimated for each health zone based on its population. So each health zone pretty much gets the same, which is typical of a vertical project. On the other hand, a horizontal integrated project that like IMA is running, funded by DFID, has a lot more money per capita investment. And in that case, there is a coordination with the health zone to see what it needs. Some health zones, for instance, don't need a lot of infrastructure development. Other health zones need more infrastructure development. So they customize the development and the amount of assistance according to the needs of that health zone. But in general, there's not enough. You know, Congo has typically been funding health system strengthening projects to the tune of $2 per person per year. Whereas in Liberia, the Ministry of Health was working on $12 per person per year. The Ministry of Health would love to see $12 per person per year in Congo, but it very rarely happens, simply because of the size of the country.
Right. Well, we can go ahead and then we will have the second presenter. It looks like the lady has a question.
Yeah, I was just wondering, in regions where there's a Muslim population, have you seen any challenges in, you know, this organization coming in and running
No, in that sense, it's not in a health zone, let's say, where there is a Protestant hospital, and that they are managing the health zone. They are not managing every facility in that health zone. if there is a Muslim-owned facility or a Catholic-owned facility or a Kimbanguist-owned facility in that health zone, those facilities remain owned and operated by their respective group. And the role of the health zone management team is to coordinate the work among all those different groups. So there's no takeover of the management of those facilities. At the national level, there is a really good collaboration between all those faith groups in coordinating their strategies to coordinate with the Ministry of Health. Just that with respect to health facilities, 99.5% of the health facilities for faith-based groups are those owned by Protestant and Catholics. Kimbanguist and Muslim have a fairly minor role in common.
Okay, so if no questions, then we can go to the second presenter, and that's Dr. Munir Lado. And Dr. Munir is from South Sudan. He serves as IMA country director for South Sudan, and he also has another role. He's the chief of party for Rapid Results Health Project, that is the World Bank funded project. And Dr. Munir is a medical doctor. He's also a public health specialist and epidemiologist. And prior to coming to IMA, he worked for the Ministry of Health, and he also worked for Save the Children. So I'll hand it to Dr. Munir.
Thank you, Dragana. I'm going to take you through the evolving health strategy in South Sudan and the role of performance-based incentive. I don't have any relation to disclose. This is a map of Africa showing you where South Sudan lies in the East Africa, and you can see the rectangle there. This is South Sudan. Before the independence, it was part of Sudan until July 2011, when South Sudan seceded from Sudan. So South Sudan is bordered in the north by Sudan, in the south by Uganda and DRC, east Kenya and Ethiopia, and west by Central African Republic. These are some of the figures based on the household surveys that were done in 2006 and in 2010. As you can see, the infant mortality rate is 75 per 1,000 live births. This is in 2010, compared to 102 per 1,000 live births in 2006. Under 5 mortality rate is 105 per 1,000 live births in 2010, compared to 135 per 1,000 birth life in 2006. Only 2.6 of the children are fully immunized, and maternal mortality is the worst in the world, 2054. 2.1 of the household have drinking water at home, and 68.7 of household have access to improved drinking water source. These figures, with the crisis now, most likely is worse because the crisis started in mid-December 2013. If another survey is done, then most likely the figures will be worse than that. This is a map of South Sudan showing the donors. In South Sudan, there are 10 states, and these 10 states are divided to 3 donors: World Bank, USAID, and Health World Fund. As you can see, the yellowish one, Upper Nile and Jungle, this is World Bank funded. Then the bluish, this is Central and Western Equatoria, this is USAID, and the rest, the greener, six states under Health Food Fund. And the yellow one, which is under World Bank, IMA is the fund manager in the three states, Upper Island Jongole, whereas in the bluish one, Central and Western Equatoria, Japaigo is the fund manager for health service delivery, and for the health system strengthening is up associate. Then for the other six states is Crown Agent. Rapid Results Health Project is World Bank funded and is designed to improve the delivery of primary health care in Upper Island Jongole, and it supports 282 health facilities and 24 county health departments in the three states I mentioned, Upper Island Jongole, and it serves 3.1 million population in Upper Island Jongole, and this is almost like one third of the South Sudan population based on the last census done in 2008, which estimated the population of South Sudan to be at 8 million. What is the performance-based contracting? The concept is if given financial incentive for meeting benchmark for the facility performance, then the health facility will improve service delivery, reaching more people and providing more services. And the performance-based contracting is a component of universal health coverage to improve access to the most needed health services. This is the photo, if you can see on the right, is former country director, Dr. Bill, is contracting in to the CD director for Malakal. And this is how IMA works with the county health department. We contract in, and the same model now, the Minister of Health want to see that most of the counties to be contracted in to the county health department in the whole South Sudan. How it work? The incentives were given as a block grant to the health facility and are paid out on a monthly basis based on the number of children immunized, numbers of the deliveries in the health facility, number of the patients seen, stock outs, waste management, and so forth and so on. How much does it cost? Maximum amount attained and paid in the local currency, this is approximate in US dollars, $1,200 per month for the county hospital, $900 per month for the county health department, $500 per month for health centers, and $200 per month for primary health care units. This is an example of this table to show you in the first column how we calculate the incentive. The first column, this is an indicator, the health management information system. The two is IDSR, the third one is QAC, the supervision of the health facilities. The fourth is the monthly CHD meeting with the village health committees. So maybe I will take the first one just as an example. The target is submission of this monthly health management information system through the district health information system, DHIS, and this is supposed to be done monthly after 21st days of the next month. And if the county health department don't submit, then they get zero. If they submit late, then they get 50%. If they submit on time, then they get 100%, which is an equivalent amount in SSP. And the other indicators the same. This is just showing some of the analysis done in 6 months. As you can see, the two charts, the first chart is showing a strong association between the incentive payment and ANC performance in the two states, Apartheid and Jongolem. And the chart two is showing the strong association in Upper Nile between incentive and the kilodiff or under five. Some of the counties, like Fashoda, they have used the incentive that are paid to them to purchase donkey to transport the drugs from the county health department to the health facilities, because those areas are during the rainy season, even the vehicles, land cruisers, cannot access the health facilities. So they became innovative in the way with the incentive paid to them, they buy donkey. Some of the county health department are using also the incentive to do minor renovation in the PHCUs, and in Fashoda the same, together with the community, they have constructed pukuls, local housing for staff accommodation. And in general, the incentive is motivation, because sometimes is distributed to them as an additional to their salaries. We recommend the explore of change of measurement for the performance. The one, the table we are using, this is IMA, so we wanted to change to the government measurement of performance, which is a quantitative supervisory checklist, QSC, to monitor the performance in the state of IMA device table. And we conclude that performance-based financing is applicable even in the post-conflict country like South Sudan. And the model shows that it is not only produces results, but it can be also scaled up. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Dr. Munir. Is there any question for Dr. Munir? Anything? Yes?
Thank you, Dr. Munir. I'm Angela Devuku, who come from South Sudan. And I'm also familiar with the project because I was working in the two states that presented by USAID funded project with Jafaido. I think it's an interesting presentation based on two things. USAID previously implemented performance-based contracting, but at the level of the organizations in which they give them incentives. And one of the problems with that is they have a dashboard that they input their results, and if you are performance about 75 or 80 or more than 90, then you get the additional funds to your projects. The problem with that is the data verification. For result submission, I think it's easy if the results have been submitted or not. But when you talk about GPT-3 and other aspects of the results, it's very difficult to really get to verify that the data they are presenting to you are true or they are not cooked. Because you are going to get incentive if you perform very well. So it's already a motivation to doctor the data. And after the end of our previous project, we came to learn that people have been doctoring the data. So how have you, what kind of mechanism have you put in place to ensure that the data you actually get are true for those counties? And secondly, the use of the funds, the incentives that you gave them, do you have a say on what they use them for? Because I know South Sudan, the salaries don't come, you may not get your salary for 3 months. They may decide to use it all for additional salaries. why you, do you have any say on what they use those containers?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Edward. And in fact, Dr. Edward is the deputy chief of party for one of the projects of Japaigo. The data verification, you are right. This is one of the challenges that we were facing. But if you see in my one of the slides, we are contracting in to CAT. So with that, we embed in the CAT office, MNE officer, that does the verification of the data. So in each county that we contract in, we have MNE, and we have a health coordinator, and we have a finance person to give technical assistance to the county health department. And within the second question, do we have say on the incentive? No. Is up to the county health department or health facility to see whatever is good for them. Either they do the renovation of the health facilities, what they did also building the accommodation for the staff, and sometimes even they distribute the incentive to top up their salary.
That was just a comment. Both of them are here for the program and leadership, and we were just talking about that with how do you get people to be honest with their financial statement, which is transparency. And I think it really has to do with upper management conveying the importance of honesty and integrity of the institution, and not pressuring that we have to meet this quota or this percentage in order to receive funding. And maybe you could put in like a training, ethics training for all the staff so they understand the importance of not giving the numbers.
Just
if you have some indicators to measure the quality aspect. You talked about numbers, quantity. What about the quality?
Quality. Yeah, that was one of the weaknesses. That is why we suggested that we move from the table that we IMA invented to the Ministry of Health, which is the QAC. It has a measurement for quality there.
Okay, so
that
answers the question. And is there anything on? Yes?
Here's just a comment. I often wonder when we have the paradigm shift with all these things that happen with our countries. It looks like there's no room to see the decrease of the funds of the outside and the increase of the countries with the Minister of Health or the government raising what they need to put into health. So, you know, we say yesterday it was 5 million, today we're talking about 100 million, and yet we don't see as much from the government pouring down to the countries. And we have difficulties where the population doesn't exist. And then we go from crisis to crisis. When do we have the best? You know, it just bothers me so much to look at this in South Sudan. We're talking about 2,000 kids dying. I mean, when is this going to change? Are we going to ever get out of this? Our country is going to stay like this, where the government's been putting almost zero into health system outside the region. $10, $12, $15
Right. I think that what you're talking about is very important.
we need to bear in mind that South Sudan, when it's the very new country in the
world. Well, not South Sudan, just
yeah.
South general.
In general, yeah, in African countries,
In South Sudan and Liberia are both great countries to look at that transition, and I hope someone will be writing that up. In 2006, when I started working in Liberia, there are about 500 health facilities in Liberia. 80% of them are receiving humanitarian funding through international NGOs. The county health teams did not exist. You know, everything was being run by international NGOs. The Ministry of Health took developed a plan to develop the capacity of county health teams, and it took several years, but they shifted the paradigm from being international driven to being driven by the county health team. Similarly, in South Sudan, when IMA contracted to work with the World Bank, Jonglei and Upper Nauru, the two most difficult states to work in, those 24 counties were being assisted by 20 different NGOs, international NGOs, sometimes two or three of the NGOs working in the same county. You know, they were doing some coordination among themselves, but there was no coordination through the state or the ministry. The process that IMA, through the RHP project, has led to smoothing out that coordination and moving from contracting out to those international NGOs to contracting in the county health teams. To whereas today, it's probably about even, isn't it? You have about half of those counties are being contracted in, and the others are still contracted out. So it's a process that takes years, I'd say 5-10 years to make that transition.
So you're saying that
but it's possible.
Right, I think we have a...
I just wanted to I agree with you, and I honestly think the bonus should be on the donor agency, that when they are providing funds to an NGO, that they put in their business plan, okay, if they're going to create some system, that, like thinking about the timeline of when they want to transition that over to the Ministry of Health, and that will incorporate including human resources that will be needed, infrastructure, put that in place. If they don't think that that's sustainable to hand it over within, you know, like you said, takes maybe about 5 years to build it up. But then afterwards, we need to think, can that really be transitioned? If not, we need to stop the funding because it's not, you can't keep supplying something that's not sustainable.
Yeah. Just a quick comment before closing. I think I agree with you. When you raised the question, I felt like I was in South Sudan in one of the meetings that we attended. Exactly the same thing you talked about. Until when are we going to rely on outsourcing the primary healthcare services to NGOs? One of our problems is that maybe, sorry, I don't agree with the fact that I'm from South Sudan, but I don't agree with the fact that South Sudan is a new country. It may be geographically new, but the people are not new. They have been there, they have worked in other places, they have worked in one Sudan, they have held responsibilities before, they are experienced people who have worked in international organizations. When they came to South Sudan, they are not new, they have the expertise. But our problem is we were not able to put this expertise into good use. People got mad with the oil money, corruption was there. And currently, the budget for health is less than 2%, the national budget. We are post conflict, we had a lot of money out of conflict 2005 to 2013, billions of dollars. We never put it into good use. We went back into conflict and we are still into conflict from humanitarian to development and back to humanitarian. So all of this play into this. The concept of the own NGOs, IMA and the others, USAID, was planned to be transitioned. But you never put in place what we are transitioning into.
Yeah.
So you don't have plans after the 5-year project, after nothing. So when the recent project came in, it turned everything back to zero. So it is our institutions, our form of government and all of this which is leading to these problems.
That's a good answer, I think, and that's probably the audience agrees that this is where the root problem is, and the question is how do you move forward. I agree that it's, yeah, on the globe it is a new country, but then when you have the services like that, then you need to put the systems in place, and then not necessarily when you put a group of people together that have never worked together, it doesn't mean that you have something functional. So you have to have allow a little bit of time for the systems to build and become functional, I guess, before you expect to see the results. Is there anything else, Dr. Munir, you would want to bring in as a response to?
It's the same dimension, because our government, we don't put enough budgets for health, as you mentioned. We pulled 4%, and at the end, what is released is even 2% or less than that. And if you don't have enough budget for health, then the problems will continue.